Welcome to Feels Like Healing, a series of conversations between myself, Al Lewis, and individuals who have turned to creativity as a way of helping them heal. Our need for healing is universal, however, the reasons behind it can be oh so varied. A difficult childhood, a traumatic experience, or perhaps a bereavement and our need to process grief. My search for healing stems from the death of my dad, who died when I was 21 from multiple sclerosis. I believe that hearing other people's stories can help us to process ours, and that the act of being creative can help turn something seemingly hopeless and incomprehensible into something beautiful and hopeful. These conversations are here to provide solace and inspiration, and to show you that healing can happen when we take our deepest pain and turn it into a work of art. This is Feels Like Healing. My guest this week on Feels Like Healing is Chris Cage. Chris is an alt-pop artist from Brooklyn in New York. Through the years, he has primarily operated behind the scenes as a songwriter in bands and as a backing musician, touring with the likes of Willie Nelson and his sons, Mika and Lucas, and Kris Kristofferson, among others. In his mid-20s, after ending up on a psychiatric ward for 3 days, Chris was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and was therefore forced to come to terms with things about himself that he hadn't previously faced. But rather than being totally destroyed by this diagnosis, Chris decided to turn it into a collection of songs and to share these songs with others. This became his debut album, Cycles. In addition to inspiring the songs written for Cycles, Chris's experiences with mental health have also led him to start Sound Mind Live, a non-profit organisation whose mission it is to create a shared space where music and mental health can coexist. Chris has stated that his artistic output is about trying to emotionally communicate his truths in a way that can help support others with theirs. And that's a sentiment that we can fully endorse on this podcast. So with that sentiment, I'd like to say, hello, Chris. How are you doing?
Hey, Al. Doing pretty great today. It's the sun is shining in New York City, which whenever that's happening in the winter, it just kind of fills me with a sense of hope and joy. and it's just really great to be here. I just am, as we spoke about previously, I'm just such a fan of what you're doing with this podcast and the importance of music to heal the soul and heal our paths in life and hopefully make it a little smoother, easier, and helping to navigate it.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like in the endeavors that you've already encountered through your life and creating Sound Mind Live that, yeah, we are both singing off the same hymn sheet, really, in what we both have been doing in our lives. So perhaps we could start from the very beginning in terms of your relationship with music. When did music and creativity first come into your life?
Yeah, for me, it's hard to even think of when, because it feels like my entire life. When I go home, I see photos of me as a toddler straddling xylophones and little baby keyboards. I would say for some reason, you know, my father was a musician who performed more before I was born than as I was growing up. But I think just music and the importance of music was always around my house. And from the age of 5, I wanted to play music. I wanted to play initially guitar, and my parents put me in piano lessons.
Sensible parents.
Sensible parents. Yeah. You know, at the time I was a disgruntled little kid wanting to be a rock star with my guitar, and then ended up taking classical lessons for really until I was 18 and went to college. But it did, I am thankful it set this amazing musical context and opened me up to genres of music I wouldn't have been diving through myself as a little kid. During that, my desire to create was always right there. I would bang away on the piano and write different songs. And then, you know, moving into middle school and high school, I started playing guitar and was in bands. And just as long as I can remember, music just played a huge role in my life, because I think I was always very tied to the creative process and how that could be an outlet for what I was feeling or sensing in the world.
You alluded to the fact that you went to college, university. What was the prospects for you at that point in your life? Had you thought that music might form a part of your life beyond college?
Prior to that, I definitely did. I mean, I was in a high school band that we were quite good. I look back at videos, we were in more of the pop punk genre. And we were going for it more or less. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles and we were playing all of the major clubs and doing competitions and doing quite well. And then that band broke up prior to going to college. And I think I just assumed music would be part of my life, but maybe not the key part. I think part of that too was growing up in a family where financial sustainability was prioritized because my parents' parents didn't have that and my parents were able to achieve that in their lives. So I grew up in this culture of, well, you're going to go to college and try to find a job that is financially sustainable. I actually started out in astronautical engineering and just doing music on the side.
That's quite a pivot away from that to music.
It was, you know, I was a kid. I loved space. I loved this idea of going to other places. And maybe there's a connection there with music of just what's in the great beyond and trying to tap into that. But halfway through college, I realized I wasn't happy in the day-to-day to that. And I actually wanted to switch more back into music. So I switched my degree just to something to graduate. So I graduated with a communications degree. And then on the side, I was a musician for hire around the city, around different tours.
Was this still in LA or were you in a different city by
now? This was still in LA. I play TV shows with artists or go into the studio or, you know, I remember going to Sundance Film Festival one year and playing with different people. And at that point, it was just exploratory. And I didn't know if that would be something after college. It was really the very end of college when I said I kind of had an opportunity to join a band that I thought could go somewhere. And I thought, well, I've got a college degree under my belt. Might as well just go for this now.
Are we getting close to this point in your life that you've mentioned? You end up having a episode that leads to a bipolar diagnosis. Are these periods interlapping?
Very close. I was touring with a band. This is when I was, I was in a band with Micah Nelson, one of Willie Nelson's kids, playing a lot with Willie and some other folk artists. And that was really my identity and what I was focused on during those points. And then after several years, that band dissipated and I had this moment of, am I going to continue to do music? Really for me, when I had my first issue where I ended up in a psych ward, when I ended up with a bipolar diagnosis, for me, I think what was behind that was I was kind of having this identity crisis of, if I'm not a musician in my life, who am I? What am I going to do with my life? And I started looking at different paths of what that would be, following some of those. But behind that was this kind of like existential angst.
Were you thinking about it in terms of, I love this life as a musician and I don't want it to end? Or were you thinking that there perhaps could be another life out there that you would enjoy more? Which was it?
That's a good question. I think it was wanting to see what else was out there for me and if there was something else that could bring me as much joy as music did. Because with music, the goal was great, you know, whether it's putting out an album or touring or, you know, in the early days, making it quote unquote big was a big goal. But the process was so enjoyable too, every single moment of playing. And I wanted to try to maybe find something else like that if I could. But in that moment, I truly didn't have it. Nothing brought me as much joy moment to moment as music. And I think there was a bit of a scrambling process of trying to find something that could carry me financially that brought me that same joy moment to moment. And I don't think I had that for a bit. And I think that was caused just this disruption in my system of not really feeling happy and trying to look for it in a lot of different places.
When you got that diagnosis, was it a relief in a way to know that this wasn't something you were making up in your head? Or was it worrying to think that actually, no, this is something that medics have diagnosed and there is something actually wrong with me? How did you approach it?
For me, it was really hard to hear and I rejected it because it felt like society was trying to put a label on something that was much more complex. And obviously with something like bipolar, I had my own ideas of what that meant based on what I'd seen in movies or heard from friends, and society did too. But for me, behind that, the experiences I was having that led to that were scary. You know, they were kind of a detachment from reality a bit, but they were also a bit beautiful and spiritual. And I was kind of diving into my psyche in the same way anyone who's done psychedelics has these explorations that are, you're going outside of your consciousness, and it's scary and it can be really troublesome if you're not handling it right. And it can give you a lot of insight about your life. And so when I got the diagnosis, it felt like something was being put on me that was just saying, this is something wrong with you and we need to treat the symptom that is causing disruption in your life, as opposed to this process of integrating what was coming up and diving in more to like, what is this saying, that the struggle you're having with your identity and the way it's making you reinterpret the world in these ways that are challenging, what's there? Let's talk about that. In the same way, you know, I think once I finally got into therapy, that was really helpful to kind of navigate some of that.
And so did you immediately direct your energies into going back into writing and making music, or was it a bit more of a gradual process before starting songwriting again? And
you know, I would say it was two things simultaneously. On one end, from a career standpoint, there I ended up moving to New York. I got an MBA and I started working in the nonprofit space. And for me, it was...
Was that you parking music for a while then?
Kind of segmenting it in my mind for a bit as this thing I do with myself, with others, to create and kind of cope with the world. It was more of in the hobby camp for a bit.
Yeah. Did that feel like a relief then, to sort of not have that pressure of trying to, like we say, quote unquote, make it, and the pressure of it being your job and your sole focus? Did your relationship change with the music and the songwriting in a positive way at that point?
The songwriting probably became a little bit more honest and increasingly honest over time. I think my relationship to it in the moment, though, was one of feeling a bit of defeat or invalidation, in that externally my music had been validated to a certain extent, but I had to let it go. You know, I had this sense that it wasn't good enough to be a full-time career. And so part of my writing was getting more honest, and part of it became proving to myself that I could make it better and better, so that when others hear it, I feel just completely confident that this is the best art I can make.
At what point does the inspiration come to start this nonprofit yourself, this organization, Sound Mind Live, which sounds fascinating, with the mission statement of wanting to create this shared space for music and mental health? Was this at the same time that you were writing these songs?
It was pretty close. So I started the nonprofit in 2019, really really launching it more largely in 2020.
Is that because of your experience in a nonprofit and you'd sort of seen the workings? Is that what inspired you to go on your own foray?
Yeah. And I think at a deeper, almost existential sense, I viewed myself as a creator. And as I was talking about, like, what am I going to find joy in? I realized that just creating things and building things, particularly with other people in collaboration, is where I source a lot of joy. And working in companies, or a nonprofit, it never felt quite fully me, that I had this idea of a creative vision and being able to build that with others, in the same way that music is that journey of creating something and seeing how it morphs and molds into the vision it's meant to be. Creating an organization was very much that process. So I was kind of looking for something to start and put my heart into. And then music also had become this source of healing at that moment. So I started leading a music support program at the National Alliance on Mental Illness in New York City, which is, they kind of run these free peer support programs. And I, while working at this nonprofit, was leading once a week a weekly support program through music where we'd come together, play music, write music, share music. And that was kind of the spark of, oh, I can kind of blend these two worlds together, this idea of healing, like you were saying, and, you know, the nonprofit model of giving back what privilege you've been able to get wherever you are, whether that's financial privilege or getting to a certain place with a mental health issue in this case, and giving that back through music. And that was kind of the spark there. And then it was really during the pandemic when I really leaned in both to the nonprofit and using that as a way to support others, and also started writing this album, which at the time I didn't even know it was going to be an album, but it was really, I started really leaning into music production. I started having the time to really focus on lyrics that felt really emotionally vulnerable and meaningful, and just pouring my soul into these two places, really pouring my soul into music as a form of healing.
What was your goal with Soundmind Live? What was it about music and mental health that you wanted to shine a light on? What did you feel that music could help to contribute to the mental health sphere?
I think for me, it was really about bridging a gap. For me, when I did receive a diagnosis, like I mentioned, I kind of felt othered in a way. It was kind of like, oh, there's mentally healthy and then there's mentally ill, and there's these two different camps. And it wasn't overtly this, but it felt discriminatory in a way around my experience. And thinking and seeing and feeling how music has always been this bridger of gaps. And you think about the social justice movement of the 60s and people like Sam Cooke or even Bob Dylan using music as one, this connective force to build community and connection, and also just communicate these themes that are so universal around our shared humanity. And for me, my mission with that was using music as this universal language that we could talk to each other on an emotional level. And then, you know, I think music, it's always doing that. You know, you go to a show, you're communing with something beyond the moment, visibly in a very deep and profound way. But using this organization and trying to use the music I create as well as this bridging gap to bridge people to greater healing and connection across different divides, you know, and the divide I was really hanging on was this divide of, you know, I'm of healthy mind or I'm of an ill mind, or I'm happy or depressed, or, you know, these binaries we put out there, and just realizing like these are all part of our shared humanity and we can kind of surf on these waves of emotion a little more rather than getting subsumed by them.
Did you quickly realize that these songs that you were writing were you consciously writing them about these themes, or do you think it was just inherent in what you wanted to bring out of yourself, that, like you said, the emotional vulnerability, was that something you were aware of doing and were you scared of doing, or did it just feel like what you needed to write at that time?
I think it was really writing the emotion that felt true in the time, and the themes almost emerged out of that. You know, I didn't start writing the album thinking this is going to be about my journey with mental health and this is going to be about healing. It was just that process of tapping into emotions in the moment, whether that was sparked by mental health or a troubling time in a relationship or feeling isolated. And as the songs developed, I realized how much of a through line there was about finding beauty in the darkness And that for me was a natural theme that was emerging in whatever I was writing about. And I realized it was, for me, that was most apparent in my journey with mental health, because it showed to me that by kind of looking at this abyss within yourself, you know, and in my case, like I said, it was like this identity crisis. So much beauty comes out of it if you just kind of sit with those things. And so musically, I think I was able to tap into that with different, coming at it from different angles.
If it was mostly done during the lockdown period, apart from the collaborations with vocalists, was it quite a solitary experience for you writing and producing this album?
It was, until the pandemic ended, and then being able to be with other folks. Had a 6-piece choir come in towards the end and do overlays on the album. I mean, that was extremely healing and community oriented. But the initial part of it was really this going inward, and, you know, like the first song I penned on the album was a track called Love and War. And I initially wrote that. I was in Austin, Texas at the time, and they had this huge snowstorm and the lights and power went out. And it was just like what could have been a miserable day. And I just started strumming, because I was also going through all this stuff in my relationship. And I was just reflecting on how all those moments of turmoil can, you know, like in a war, are often, love is often wrapped up in it. And I guess just writing that was a very isolating moment, but I was connecting to these universal themes. So I think I felt like in communion with whatever I was tapping into. So I guess what I'm coming to is, it didn't feel totally isolating, even though I was working out a lot of the album alone. It was like I was in this therapy process with myself. You know, like almost like the music was the therapist talking back to me. You know, I was kind of like putting out these questions of like, what am I toiling with here? Or the answers I was getting back through the music were almost like the therapy session. So it didn't feel, it felt less isolating to write.
What was the tipping point for you with these songs that made you then decide that you wanted to revert back to being somebody who publicly released music? What was the decision behind that?
Well, for me, for a bit, I was really focused on trying to get sync placement and placement in movie and TVs as a way to have income through music and self-sustain it simultaneously to other things I was doing. In the process of doing that, I found myself increasingly getting into the writing for other people, writing for what is going to be just catchy or bought, or, you know, and that was some of the other writing outside of this album that I was doing during the pandemic. And I had this moment of being like, I want to at least focus on one or the other of these things, focusing on things that feel really meaningful to me to communicate these broader themes and have people connect with them, or focus on financial sustainability through music. And I realized that I lived this one life, and I was trying to dive back to like, why am I doing music? And it's really to bridge gaps and to communicate these things that are inside of me that I think we all toil with and are out there. And the decision to release the album was really one of, I just want to write something that is the most meaningful thing I can write. Use what I had learned in trying to write things that are catchy or have a good hook and things like that, but not get so caught up in it where it sacrifices the depth or the quality of the art and the lyricism. And that was a beautiful process to go on. I think like the process of making it made me a better musician and songwriter. And it felt like, even if no one hears this, I am super proud of it. And I've heard, if anyone's ever heard like Rick Rubin on podcasts or an interview, like I feel like one of the things he always touts is just write what you want to hear and what feels good. Make yourself the audience, and the rest will come or not, but at least you go on that journey and you're happy that you did and you get to hear it. And so it really became that process. And I think it was, about a year or so ago when I realized, that's what I want to do. And let me finish writing these songs to be able to just be happy that I've communicated this body of art in the best way I possibly can.
How does it feel now to have the album out and for people to be listening to it and commenting on it and you being interviewed about it and opening up in a different way? Does it feel like a release, like a catharsis to have that these songs out there now in the world?
100%. It is on one end validating to have something that is so honest, heard and listened to and received positive feedback. And I don't have the worry in my head of like, is it validating this part of me that's egocentric? Because I didn't make it to get validated. I made it just to get it out there. And as a result, it's even more validating because it's like, oh, this truest sense of myself, people are listening to and like it. And I think it's been a release too of having my identity wrapped up in music, because I think for a while, like I shared, because it wasn't my full-time focus, I had this desire to make it more of my identity. But then in the process of kind of letting go of that or what it might become or who may or may not listen to the album and just focusing on, I want to write the best thing I can write, amazing things have transpired. And I care less about the results in a way, because I'm just happy with each moment of the process, which has been super healing in and of itself. To just, great, it's out there and that's it. And then, like I got a licensing deal off of it and it was like, oh, that's amazing. I wasn't even necessarily trying to do that with this album.
Isn't it funny how life often ends up that way, that the things we feel like we're craving so often, when we stop trying so hard for them, they often appear. Oh, that's how I find it sometimes.
I think you're definitely right. The world presents what we're ready for. And if you're craving something, you're probably not ready for it. You're probably wanting it for the wrong reasons, because it's more of an addiction. And I think for me, in some ways, and I'm curious, I feel like this should be talked about more, but I think for a lot of artists, music can become an addiction, especially in the capitalist society in which we live, and the fact that like it can become a slug, whether or not it's your, if it's your full-time gig, if it's not, but producing music, feeling validated off music, and it being so much part of your identity can become an addiction. Mm-hmm. And to be able to enjoy it and flow with it without that addictive quality, so much more beauty can come from it because you have this healthy relationship with it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And so do you find now, having had your experience with setting up the nonprofit organization and building a community around mental health and music, do you feel you have the tools now that you're better equipped to deal with the potential pitfalls of a life in music, if that is the life you want to pursue? Or do you feel like you're now in a place where music will just be one, like you just alluded, maybe just a segment of your life, and that other things will balance you out, and that it will therefore demand less of your personality, of yourself?
Yeah, I think I've come to the point of letting go of what I think it will be a little bit and tuning into, is this bringing me the feelings I want to have, making me the type of person I hope to be in each moment, and following that. So, there could be a world in which doors just open and world tours happen, and just following that, I think, has been the guiding force that got it to this point and has allowed me to have such a great relationship with it now, of just maybe desiring things and putting it out there and then seeing what the world gives back, and truly being fine with either, because the way I want to feel off of my life is that the things I'm putting out there, people are connecting with, and it's helping people. And that's cyclically helping me.
Yeah.
You know, even just conversations like this, it's like, this is going out to the world, but it's also helping me interpret my story. And it's this beautiful cycle. So I think just wanting to be aware of in each moment, whether that's a more music filled path or a less music filled path.
So if we take music out of the equation, what else is bringing, or what else brings healing and comfort into your life at the moment?
For me, community is a huge one. And I know that's a very big, broad term, but I've just realized friendships and friends of friends and connecting friends is such a positive force in my life and has been beyond music. This aspect of connecting with people who either have a similar journey or are of like mind, who can help and support one another, has been one of the most healing things. And music has been a vehicle for that, you know, creating music with others, talking about music, going to music. And so for me, you know, outside of music writing, I'm also just increasingly trying to create spaces where that can take place, where people who are on a similar journey can connect, and to go to those places myself. Because I think that's where greater healing happens. And also it sparks ideas for new art and new creations. So, you know, I'm looking at maybe in the next year opening like a physical space here in New York City, where it would be music as a source of healing, you know, rather than just a concert venue, a place where people can come, write, create, you know, also go to sound baths and things like that. And so for me, that is also bringing a lot of joy of like continuing this path of how can we build music as a form of healing together.
That's great. I mean, because that was going to be my final question to round things up, is what are your hopes and aspirations for the future? But it sounds like you've kind of already mapped it out. You're going to create this physical space in New York.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think my hope too musically is that, like I was just alluding to, a space like that, or the connections that are built out of a space like that, lead to more merging of art forms and new art to be created. I think it's so beautiful that music can be healing. And I think part of my own process has been, it's even more healing when you share it. When you have this process of creating something, feeling proud of it, and then letting it go, and it'll probably help you in the process and also help others who hear it. And I think many artists have the experience, definitely myself, of creating music and be like, oh, that's a great song, let me put that on the shelf and come back to it, or one day I'll record it, or one day I'll put it. And just the process of doing that is so healing. And in order to do that, you need to meet different people. You know, if you don't record things at home, you've got to meet a studio engineer or someone to master it or someone to distribute it. And then talking to people who have done that, like it just helps bridge those connections and you bond with others in the process. So I think in a space like this, hopefully it can inspire more of that to happen. And also even just outside of spaces like that, I hope that I, as a artist, writer, producer, like I want to increasingly move into a space of not just creating my own music, but helping others bring their visions for music to life, and letting go a little bit of what I want out of that, but more, you know, someone comes in with a vision or a specific,
being more of a conduit for them,
being a conduit to letting these things be the best they can be, because I think I definitely have that capacity and a good ear and a diverse enough ear to be able to tap into what people are trying to transmit.
Well, I wish you all the best with your future endeavors, Chris. And perhaps if you're over in the UK, let me know and we can catch up.
I would love that. Hopefully very soon.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Take care. Chris's debut album, Cycles, is out now. You can find Chris on Instagram at ChrisCageOfficial. Please help by rating and subscribing to this podcast, as it will help to spread the word about Feels Like Healing. Thanks for listening.